The main thing we're going to be focusing on tonight is building our emunah. You guys are in high school. You are future leaders of Klal Yisrael. You are B'nai Torah who are shaping your worldview now. And so the Seder, which is the night of the source of our emunah, of our education, of everything that we know, it's a time to go back to that. We need to get back to the basic questions of building our Yiddishkeit, of understanding who we are and why we do what we do. So that's going to be the focus of the Divrei Torah that we share tonight. Some of these you can share at your Seder table. Some of them are going to be food for thought, and you're going to be able to talk about it afterwards with our terrific mentors and facilitators. I want to start with one Ha'ara. Let's start with this first Ha'ara. And that comes to you from none other than the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., who is a staple at our Seder. And we're about to find out why. Because we all know the Pasuk tells us, Shomer Eschod HaAviv, you have to be careful to make sure that Pesach is when? When does Pesach come out? Aviv, in the spring. So you got to fix the lunar calendar so that it matches the solar calendar so you don't end up with this. This was this week at Wrigley Field. It's not normal to have a baseball field covered with snow. You can't have Pesach in the wintertime. If you can't have Pesach in the wintertime, you have to adjust the calendar. So my question is a simple observation. Why are we so off? Why are we following the lunar calendar with a mitzvah to adjust it to the solar calendar? Why don't we just follow either the solar calendar or the lunar calendar? One of the two. It doesn't make sense. You hear the question? Pick one. Why is it that it's following the lunar when we have to follow the Chodesh Aviv? And the truth is, this idea that we're a little bit off kilter, we're a little bit different, we're not so normal, we're both the solar and the lunar, is a general observation about Yiddishkeit. Manishtana alayla azemi kol alelos means, why are we always doing weird things? Why are Jews always different? This is observation. This is observance of Shabbos, let's be honest. This is what Shabbos looks like for, you know, this is normal. You'll tell me if this looks normal to an average person. Is this normal?
Yes.
For both sides. Why are we doing this kind of thing? Is this normal? So the answer is, we're not normal and there's a good reason. So listen to this talk.
Of God's children smothering in an airtight
He's not going to be adjusted. He's going to be maladjusted. How many of you ever heard that word? Maladjusted. Great word. You've heard that. Oh. You know why we need to be maladjusted? Because the world that we live in, the Olam, is actually the same word as He'elim, is hidden. The natural world hides the Ribbono Shel Olam. So for that reason, we're not adjusted. We're going to be different. We're going to be an ishtana. We're going to always be a little bit off from nature. Rabbi Sacks makes this point in his Haggadah. The idea that the Jewish people are just a little bit different. Because if you just go with the flow, the Ribbono Shel Olam is gone. So we bedafka, you can read it later, we bedafka create a Seder that's a little bit lobeseder. We live in a world where we're maladjusted. And the reason for that is because just going with the flow hides the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the first place to start. We as Jews are always trying to be just a little bit maladjusted. Let's start with that. Our Seder has an order, but it's out of order because we want to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam beyond this world. Echad miyodea. Let's begin with the end. If you go around the streets of downtown Baltimore and you say to someone in English, Shmona miyodea, do you number? You know number eight? What will anybody tell you? Do you know number eight? Who knows eight?
I know eight.
Cal Ripken! Shmona miyodea. So Rabbi Frand once pointed out, Rabbi Yisachar Frand, he says, by the time we get to the end of the Seder, we want to be in a place where our association, at the end of the day, is it's all about the number one. It's all about Hashem. The same way you go to Baltimore, everybody tells you that number eight, you don't have to think, it's Cal Ripken. In Chicago, if you tell somebody, what's 23?
Michael Jordan.
You don't have to think.
LeBron James.
By the time we end the Seder, Echad miyodea, that's the goal. That our association should be with Hashem. Let's go to number two. Guys, we're going to keep moving. We've got to be really focused. Because we're going to do this really quickly. And then we're going to break it down. Issue number three. The word matzah. We eat matzah. We have a mitzvah d'oraisa. The only mitzvah d'oraisa of eating every year. Matzah. Number three. Matzah. What does the word mean? So actually, if you look closely, the word matzah also, it doesn't just mean bread. It means lematzos, which means to squeeze the essence out of something. The pasuk says in Shoftim that when Gideon put a ball of wool on the floor and he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, let me see a miracle. Can you make this wet while everything else is dry? He woke up in the morning and he was motzei. He squeezed it out. The word matzah means to squeeze something to its essence. You ever look at the back of a package of Arnold's bread? It has lots of ingredients. Poly, moly, urethal, lalaline, lor. But you know what we do on Pesach? We say there's no other ingredients. It's just water and flour. It's the mitzui. It's the essence of bread. And you know why we do that? Because according to the tradition, Chachamenu Zichrono Levracha, they told us that matzah is nama de mehemnusa, the bread of emuna. Emuna is the essence. In 10 years, you guys are going to be maybe having your own families, in your own cities, having your own jobs. You're going to have to decide, what kind of life are you going to lead for yourself? What does it boil down to? What does our life come down to? What is the essence of our life? What's the matzah? When you're mematzah, or it comes similar to the word motzeitz or sachat, when you come down to the essence, we got to make sure there's emuna. Emuna is the essence. That's the nama de mehemnusa, that's matzah. We start the Seder with manishtana. And you know why that is? Because questioning is good. Don't just accept something because someone tells it to you and says, this is the way it is. In Yiddishkeit, we encourage our kids and we encourage ourselves to ask. We have to be comfortable asking, and we have to be comfortable asking even when we don't have good answers. Sometimes life is about living with questions. So when you want to build your emunah, don't say, I'm not going to think, I'm not going to ask. Adraba, Chazal say, you have to be. Sibritis Mitzrayim is derech she'ilo tshuva, because if you want to build emunah, you got to ask. We, the parents, the teachers, the rabbis, you guys, the mentors of the younger kids, you have to be ready for people to ask questions. There's no such thing as saying, oh, I can't ask that. It's a bad question. It's an inappropriate question. It's a stupid question. There's no such thing as a stupid question. Adraba, every question has value. Not every question has a simple answer. But every question has value. So we start with Manashtana. We make sure that everybody is used to asking. Don't accept something just because. So the mitzvah is v'higadat l'bincha. So people are going to tell their children. You guys are going to say it over. One day, you're going to teach somebody else. What is that mitzvah? Do you notice that the word v'higadata has a shoresh? The shoresh of the word v'higadata, according to the Hasidim, is the word magid. What's the root of that word? Sounds like something that we don't eat. Bingo. A gid. What is a gid? Nice, Gottlieb. Very nice. Props for them. It's not a bone. It's a ligament or a tendon. What does that accomplish? It connects. It connects. It connects the bones to each other. It connects the sinews. V'higadata l'bincha. You know what the answer to our kids is when they have questions? We know what the answer to ourselves is. We need to tell ourselves, you know what? We're connected to a Rebbe. We're connected to a teacher, to a parent, to a Masorah. I have for you guys on the back of tonight's outlines a little chain of Masorah that begins with Moshe Rabbeinu, an unbroken Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu to you by way of the YU Torah Tzion Kol of Chicago. And my Rabbeim of Rav Shechter Shlita, Rav Schwartz, Rav Refua Shleiman, Rav Lichtenstein, Zichrona Livracha. This is an unbroken chain. Direct from you to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the gid. This is the connector. The v'higadata l'bincha. You got to know that you're connected. There's a guy who I know, unfortunately, he's a single guy. He's from Chicago. His family lives in Chicago. He lives in a different community. He's not married. And he's having some struggles. One of the reasons that perhaps he's having some struggles is that he doesn't feel a gid. He doesn't feel connected. So we have to ask ourselves at the Seder, are we connected? Do we have a gid? Do we have a connection? Do we have that v'higadata? Number 6. Ben Zoma had a drasha that Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah was trying to convince people. Finally, Ben Zoma says, listen to me. I'm going to tell you what it is. The mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, which extends Sigazant the entire year in a different mitzvah called Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's Afilu Balelos. You say Shema, the third parak of Shema, every night, not just during the day. Say is the Hela Gesachachavar, the Shem Yishmul, the son of the Avni Nezer of Shmuel Bornstein. He says, you know why you say it Kol Yemei Chayecha Afilu Balelos? Because night is when things are difficult. When our self-esteem is broken, when we feel depressed, when we feel alone, when we're struggling. We all have times like that. All of us at different times in our lives. Says the Sachachavar, Yitzias Mitzrayim, being able to get out of those difficulties, to pull ourselves out of the straits of being constricted, of struggling, that's even Balelos, even in the tough times. We could tap into the koach of Yitzias Mitzrayim. It starts at the night of the Seder with a long story of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. But every night you have a little dose of that at the end of Kriya Shema Shel Shachris and Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. And the Chiddush of Reb Elazar ben Azariah and Ben Zoma is that we should be able to have that Yetzias Mitzrayim even when it's tough. Never to give up. Always to believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam believes in us. He took us out of Mitzrayim. He could take us out of today's Meitzar, tomorrow's Meitzar. It's one of the big challenges. How do we get through the Laila to get to the Yom? So we need to give ourselves chizuk. Says the Shem Yishmuel, Kol Yemei Chayecha Lahavi Halelos. Even in the tough times, we need to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. The beauty, the confidence, the strength that we felt about ourselves, even in the night times. The Rasha comes to the Seder. We're at number six. No, we're at number seven already. Number seven. The Rasha comes to the Seder and he says, Chevra, Mo Avora Hazos. The Rasha, why is he at the Seder? If he doesn't believe, he's not a Maimon, why is he even sitting there? The answer is, says Rav Avadya Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Rav Avadya says an amazing word. He says, of course the Rasha believes. He says, I believe. God took us out of Egypt. He created the world, did all the miracles. Awesome. But I don't understand. Why do I have to do all the practical mitzvos? Maha avoda. Why are my parents asking me to vacuum the car? Why do I have to worry how much matzah I eat? Why do I have to think about what time the Seder is going to finish? Why do I have to do all the things? What's with the details? Why do I have to do all the things? Moha avoda hazos. So you know what we tell him? You could say, I believe, but you're never going to grow from just that. Many of us in this room know, we know people, lo aleinu, who don't have the capacity to chew. I know a young girl who never learned the ability to eat. So she eats all of her nourishment through a feeding tube. Is that geschmack? Is that something we like? Is that something we look forward to? Just make one suggestion. If I can only see the back of your head, just turn this way so I can see everybody can see the front of your head. Rav Avadya says, a person chews, it's work, but that's what makes eating enjoyable. That's how you're going to digest your food. A person doesn't want to eat lo aleinu through a feeding tube. A person wants to eat like regular people. Look at this. Donnie's, firecrackers. I mean, you can't get this geshmaka olam hazeh lo aleinu through a feeding tube. You got to chew. You want to grow as a person? The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to become the best us that we can. That's not going to happen just by saying, I believe, and I'm going to be a good person. Becomes very subjective. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to give you a Torah with rules. And you follow those rules, that's how you're going to grow. And that's what's going to make the process of growth geschmack. When we realize that the life that we lead is meaningful. The mitzvahs that we do raise us up. They connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we say to the Rasha, Hake Ashinov, take out his teeth. He just wants to say, I believe, without going through the grind. We have the mitzvahs that put us through the grind. Through that we grow. That's how we lead a meaningful life. Shebechol dar vador omdim aleinu l'chal oseinu. Why is it that we're still facing anti-Semitism in the news today? The answer is very simple. We are godly people. We're telling the world that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam and there is a moral code. And for that reason, a lot of people don't like us. So we ask ourselves, am I an ambassador of the Ribbono Shel Olam? I hope, Har Sinai Shemisham Yarda Sinala Olam, I hope that my moral behavior, the way that I interact with other people, is a demonstration of the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. Shebechol Dor V'Dor. That's why. You know why the Nazis didn't like us? The Nazis weren't Catholic or Christian. They were amoral. So they said their first focus, their primary enemy, is the Jews and the God of the Jews. Because that makes a moral claim on the universe. Our challenge is to figure out, are we leading that life? How do we make sure, even at the age of 15, when to some of us our primary intent for the moment is on ESPN, are we leading a life that is filled with the Ribbono Shel Olam? Doesn't mean that that's the only pursuit, but everything that we're doing needs to be as part of that pursuit. Ani v'lo malach. Hashem says, I came down to Egypt and I'm going to come to your Seder and not a malach. If you look at the Teferet Shlomo with the Holy Reb Shlomo of Radomsk, he says that there are usually filters, that the light of Hashem comes into the world through these filters. But not on the night of the Seder. Hashem loves us and he wants us to know that he's going to jump over. Ufosachti. V'dilagti, I'm going to jump over the barriers. The Tefera Shlomo says the words malach and shaliach are code words for barriers between us and Hashem, agents, filters, not on the night of the Seder. Do we sit back and think, what's my connection to Hashem? What's my personal, direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Pesach. You'll notice that the Korban Pesach has many laws, many details. And that's because it's an example, a case study of kachim. Kachim is very regulated. The korbanos have to be done in a specific way with a specific intent. That's the recipe for us to connect to godliness in a fixed way. Our religion, our way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through a set of specific laws. Because the word mitzvah is related to the word tzavsa, which means pair. Tzevet, staff, is a team. We become teammates with the Ribbono Shel Olam when we perform mitzvos. We bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. Every mitzvah action that we do brings Hashem and His presence into the world. Mitzvahs, milashon tzavsa. So when the more refined we become, the more sensitive we are to the details of the mitzvahs. And the Korban Pesach has just that, lots and lots of details. Finally, the last ta'ara is the halal. You notice that you don't say a bracha on halal. And many explain that's because halal is supposed to be spontaneous. You imagine you're sitting in a restaurant with a young woman and you're about to propose and you say, wait, I have a script. It's on this card. Wait, no. Let me get my phone. Let me read it off to you. You start reading, it says, I love you very much. You mean a lot to me. I hope we could spend the rest of our life together. Hallmark American Greetings, 2019. How's that woman going to feel? Yoni, what do you think? Speculate. Not so good. No! It's got to come from your heart, for crying out. I'm just giving you an etza, saying, when the time comes. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that. It's got to come from within. So many posts can say, of course you can't make a bracha on the halal. That would be like saying, I am now about to say to my wife, I love you. No, it's got to be spontaneous. That's why even though lechatchila, you're supposed to say the halal after the meal, when you're full, and you can celebrate al nefesh, sveya, keres, malaya, but part of the halal we say first. Because we're just so excited. How excited are we about our Yiddishkeit? How passionate are we that we're just going to break out into song? It's a question that we need to ask ourselves when we prepare for Pesach. And it's a question that we need to ask ourselves at the conclusion of the Seder when we recite the Hallel. I thank you all for